had a wonderful exchanges with our friends, and that the atmosphere is a little bit let us say all over the place, but it's nice if we can somehow get together. Maybe we should just say that to our guests out there, that if they could be a little bit more peaceful, a little bit more calm, a little bit more shanti. I very much liked in this ceremony that there was a strong emphasis on really the relationship. I receive you out of love. I give you out of love. I promise that I will never do anything that goes against Dharma and creates disturbance in our relationship. It was a very, let us say, nice program where we could really get in contact what is the real purpose of a marriage, and also what is the real purpose in bhakti. In bhakti, we really want to develop a devotional love in our heart. It's all about devotional love. We move through our life and our days in this world, and our love for Krishna increases, and our compassion and tolerance and kindness for others increase, then we know that we are doing something right. But when we go in our spiritual life, move on in our spiritual life, and our love for Krishna becomes less, and our tolerance of others becomes less, then we know we have taken the wrong road in our spiritual life. So I want to now talk a little bit about the philosophical, or let us say the Shastric foundations of a successful marriage. But I believe this is not only insightful and interesting for our newly wedded people, it is also interesting for those on the path of bhakti. Now, I will speak words which are difficult to understand for children, and I know the children will become bored with me and begin to will show it. You know, children are brutally honest. When they are bored, they will scream. We grown-up people will not scream when we are bored with others. But children are good. Well, what I can offer is we have, we call it the funny little room, where everything has to take place. Or you might like to go with the children into the park. You just need to go this road down, and there is a beautiful park with a lake. And also, maybe we should first give the children some cake. What do you think? We have already given them cake, yes. I know the children, and if they are healthy children, they will scream when I give lectures. So we will start. Good. We need to make it a little louder because we don't amplify the harmonium, therefore. If you need. Good. I request all of you to collect your mind now. This is, see? That's a good. Sometimes turn everything down, turn the volume down of our thoughts, turn the volume down of the noise of Berlin, turn the volume down of the conflicts in the world, and just turn the volume on of bhakti, where we turn to Krishna and sing for him. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, were singing very nicely. I think we were just preparing ourselves to sing this new melody, and for a preparation this was excellent, but for a kirtan we need to give a little bit more of our voice, of our heart, and of our devotion as we sing this. So please let us try a little bit better than the preparation. Please sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Jai Jagannath Jai Jagannath
Nana Jaya Jagannath Jaya Baladeva Jaya Subhadra Jaya Jagannath Jaya Baladeva Jaya Subhadra Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jagannath Jaya Baladeva Jaya Subhadra Jaya Prabhu Pada Jaya Prabhu Pada Jaya Prabhu Pada Chila Prabhu Pada
Jaya Prabhu Pada
Jaya Prabhu Pada Jaya Prabhu Pada Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol Hare Krishna. In my life, Swami, as a sannyasi, I have been requested to give talks on many marriages like this. And at one stage in my life, I did not attend the marriage ceremony because my presence as a sannyasi would be inauspicious. You know, here two people, they're entering into an entirely different course in life than I had chosen. But later I changed my mind when the devotees who were getting married, the people who were getting married said, you are for us like a father and we need the blessings of a father. So when our Syamlal and Mitu came to me and in their very nice and sweet rasagula-like Bengali way, requested me to come to the marriage, I said yes. But I must confess to you, when I was invited to these marriage ceremonies of the past to speak, I always felt a little uncomfortable. When the priest spoke these divine mantras, which indicated a lifelong commitment, I felt a little uncomfortable because I knew that the reality of life shows that so many people, despite their best intention, separate and go separate ways. This is not only there in the world of material people who follow a material path, but also those in the spiritual movements who go to the Vivaha Yagya, they suffer from discord, quarrel, and it becomes very difficult for them to keep the relationship together. And not all of them are successful in this. So as a person who comes to the ceremony and I hear the priests say a verse from the Taittiriya Upanishad, from in love we were born, out of love we give each other to each other. I promise to never do anything that harms you in your dharmic progress and in your life's progress. And I hear all these very high sounding Vedic mantras. I was not comfortable to sit in such a ceremony, knowing so well that it is so difficult in Kali Yuga to keep these high values up, knowing the human condition so well, knowing that my friends had undergone divorces and so on. And it became a conflict for me. Should I participate in these ceremonies any longer? And I then took advice from married couples who stayed together since 50 years and more, my friend Buri Jampabu. And I asked him, how can it work? You know, how can these high promises work? And he said something, keep Krishna in the center. And I believed in that. But my problem was not totally solved. Then the diamond marriage of my parents came. Die Diamantene Hochzeit. You know, that's when you stay together, I think, I'm not so sure, 70 years and more, when the marriage lasts 70 more and years and more. And I asked them after the the celebrations were over, can you give me a tip? I have to speak to these young people who are getting married. Can you give me a tip how the marriage stays together? Can you give me some advice? You are already 70 years together. This is not 17, 70 years. And they thought, and then my mother said, your father should speak first. But the father said, your mother should speak first. So they had a discussion, and then finally they agreed the father would speak first. And this is what he said. You, in a marriage, you have to give more than you take. Wow, that was profound. Then I said, mother, what did you want to say? And my mother said, in a marriage, you have to give more than you take. And then my parents said, this is what we have learned. We have learned to see each other as parts of God, and we see only the good things in the other person. There will be quarrel, there will be disunity, there will be so many problems, but if we understand this is a part of God and I want to serve this person, my husband or my wife, so that they can make progress in their life, then we can overcome all the difficulties. And then my parents turned to me and said, you have to see the other with spiritual eyes. Wow, I said, thank you. This is my message to all of you, to those who are married, Shyam Lal and Mitu, and also to all of you. In material life, you want to take more than you give. A good business deal is only there when you are able to take more, to get more out of it. Then you have made win. Then it's a winner for you. But in the spiritual life, you don't have this exploitive mentality. You have spiritual mentality, and you can maintain this mentality only if you are successful to see the other person as a part of God, a part of Krishna. We speak of the Grihastha life, the marriage life, as an ashram. Like all the other ashrams, brahmachari, sannyas, vanaprastha, sannyas ashram, it's an ashram. Ashram comes from the Sanskrit word ashraya, or shelter. Shelter, where are we totally sheltered? We are sheltered at the lotus feet of the Lord in the most perfect way. When we are unmarried students, our shelter is not our books, not our learning, it's the Lord. When we are married, our ultimate shelter is not even in our home, in our job. It is because this can go wrong. Things can go wrong in the home. Things can go wrong in the job. Our ultimate shelter is Vishnu, Krishna. When we are preparing for the later part of our life in Vanaprastha, our ultimate shelter is not in the forest where we go and make a little hut. Our ultimate shelter is with Krishna or Vishnu. When we are in a sannyas life, our ultimate shelter is not in this saffron dress and in our position and so on. This will not save us. Our ultimate shelter is in Krishna. In sannyas life, there's a mantra. Etam sastaya paratmanishtam, and so on. I take fully shelter, I will cross the ocean of material life by taking full shelter in the lotus feet of the Lord. This was done by previous authorities, and I will follow in the footsteps. So, ashram, grihastha life can be an ashram when both take shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. But there is also a personal dimension, an interpersonal dimension, not just with Krishna, but with each other. There should be love and affection and respect with each other, that is so great that when the other person comes to his dark side, the dark side of the moon, when the qualities come forward which we have perhaps not seen on the marriage day, then we should meet the other person with tolerance and respect. Oh yes, I tolerate your words. I respect you as a part of Krishna. I have a very nice god sister. Her name is Balai Das. And after she got married, her husband came to Srila Prabhupada and asked him a question. Sometimes I feel some affection for my wife. Is that right? You can see what type of people we were at the beginning of this movement. Of course, this is all right. But he was thinking, perhaps, sometimes I feel a little bit, there is some physical desire, perhaps. I think that is hidden in the question. So sometimes I feel some affection for my wife. Is that all right? This affection, this human feeling towards. And Prabhupada replied, yes, the right hand can have a relationship with the left hand, but it is through the body. So similarly, one soul may have a relationship with another soul, but it is through the medium of the super soul or the supreme soul. Now, this is, of course, a very deep and profound thing that we need to study a little bit. What is Prabhupada saying here? He seems to indicate that in the relationship between husband and wife, there should be a third, that is Krishna. And he gives the example, between the left hand and the right hand, there is the body, the heart, the lungs, the muscles, which will give life to both of the hands. And when the hands are then coming together to make a journey together or whatever, they are connected, but through the body. Without the body, they would be separated and there would be no relationship. There would be no life. This is a deep point, my dear devotees, and we will need to look at it a little carefully to understand it. There is in the Bhagavatam a beautiful section. It is the prayers of Queen Kunti. You must know that Queen Kunti had a very, very eventful life, you can say. When she was very young still, her father, who had a friend, his friend was the King Kunti Bhoja, gave her away, not for marriage, but he gave her away to his friend because his friend was not able to have children. There was some physical problem, and they didn't have these he was not meant to have a child in a physical way. So his friend gave Kunti, the small girl, away. And that's not so easy for a girl, no? To be given away by her parents. She will lose all her friends. She will ask the question, did my father really love me? How could my mother do this? But Kunti understood. She was a brave Kshatriya girl. She understood the social customs of her times, and she lived in the house of Kunti Bhoja as the beloved child. There she served a great saint called Durvasa. Now you must know, Durvasa had such a temper that when something went wrong in his service, like perhaps the servant brought in the soup and a drop of the soup fell on his white dhoti, then Durvasa would explode like a volcano and curse the poor servant to live 10,000 lives as a mouse in the hole of a mountain or something. He was really creative in his curses. So therefore, it was very difficult to get anyone to serve Durvasa Muni. Would you serve someone who, when you do something wrong, he just sends you for 10,000 years in a mouse hole? Of course not. So Durvasa was very, very... So Kunti served him so nicely that even Durvasa couldn't find a mistake and gave her a blessing. I, Durvasa, give you a mantra whereby which you can call any devata, any higher being from the higher planets, whomever you want. So Durvasa, Kunti was a young girl. She had this mantra to call the sun god, and she did it in secret. She said the mantra, la 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 la. And it was a better mantra, by the way. But I don't want to speak the mantra, because what happened is the Surya Dev came. He appeared in the palace. Kunti saw a glaring light, and then the king of the sun with a crown and glaring effulgence. And she said, "Oh, sorry, I didn't know that this would work. I'm very sorry. Would you like something to eat? And she was really nervous. And Suhadev said, no, I don't want to eat something. What would you like? I would like to have a union with you. It's Kunti. I'm still a girl, a virgin girl. No, your virginity will be intact, and you will get a son. And this is meant by Lord Narayan. He has. It's all the Lord's plan. So, what could Kunti say? She had to. What can you say to a god? You cannot say no. So. Her firstborn son was born, Karna. But because the society would never allow that an unmarried girl would have a son, she had to say goodbye to Karna and put him, the little baby, in a little basket and gave that basket in the Ganga and said, one day, said Kunti, and looked at the little baby who was there in the basket, one day we will meet again and I will recognize you. I will recognize you because Karna, the son of the sun god, had golden earrings by your earrings and your armor. Can you imagine a girl has been given away from her by her parents, and now she has to give away her firstborn son? Oh, this is a double trauma. But there were many other traumas, and I just see my time is here so short. I will give a lecture series in Serbia and in Switzerland about this. Kunti had to go through so many tests, fire tests, you can't imagine. She had to see that her sons, who were all divine children from gods, had to be sent in exile by a very demoniac and arrogant Duryodhana. She had to see so many things, and she survived all these troubles by taking shelter in her mysterious nephew, who was known as Vasudev. He had appeared, it was Krishna who had appeared at that time. Only by Krishna's mercy she could survive all these troubles. And then at the end of the most troublesome event in her life, a battle where her own sons were fighting her firstborn Karna, and Karna was killed without her sons knowing that this was their brother. At the end of this tremendous trial and tremendous problem, she spoke these beautiful prayers to Krishna, and there was one prayer which I want to say to you. It is a beautiful prayer which on this day will be something I would like to give to the married couple. Tvayi me nanya vishaya matir madhu pate sakret ratim mood vahatat adha gange vogam udanvati. Queen Kunti had seen that she had been given away at a young age. Queen Kunti had seen that she had to give away her firstborn. And Queen Kunti had seen that her firstborn was later in a deadly conflict with her other sons. Queen Kunti had seen dynasties being extinguished. She had seen the trouble of material relationships. And she now spoke, O Lord of Madhu, Krishna, just as the Ganga forever and ever flows to the sea without hindrance, let my attraction, my love that I have in the heart, be constantly drawn unto you without being diverted to anyone else. In other words, Queen Kunti prays for Ashraya, the shelter which all of us souls need. Yes, my dear devotees, today two people have married. Yes, my dear devotees, the divorce rate also in spiritual movements is 50%. Yes, my dear devotees, it is a difficult age where conflict and quarrel is not only between people, but between whole countries who start to throw bombs on each other suddenly. But there is one shelter from the age of Kali. It is the lotus feet of the Lord. Now, this verse is perhaps the most misunderstood verse in the prayers of Queen Kunti. Some people who have not read the spiritual philosophy very carefully think, ah, here we have it. She says, let my affection exclusively go to you, just like the Ganga exclusively goes into the sea. Does this mean that we should not have affection for anyone else? No, my dear listeners, if you understand this, you misunderstand. What this means is that you have a sheltered relationship. I would like to read you something from Prabhupada's purpose. When Kunti Devi wanted to get rid of the family relation, she did not mean the finer feelings between each other. She only wanted to cut off the relationship of the skin. Listen, it is a deep point. You have to be a little thoughtful. The skin relation is the cause of material bondage, but the relation of the soul is the cause of freedom. The relation of the soul to the soul can be established by the via medium of the relation with the supreme soul, the super soul. And Prabhupada now gives us an example. He says, we can have relationships between each other, but there must be a spiritual light in the relationship. Now, he gives the example. Seeing in the darkness is not seeing.
You walk in the darkness, can you see anything?
No. But seeing by the light of the sun means to see the sun and everything else which was unseen in the darkness. That is the way of devotional service. My dear devotees, this is a deep point. When you have a relationship as friends, as God brothers, and especially as married people, you will have to have light in the relationship. The son of Krishna has to be there in order to take out the darkness of envy, for instance. Even in families, there's envy, of misunderstanding, of feeling not happy with each other. All these are symptoms of darkness. And remember, Amara Prabhu had requested us to think about the obstacles which we have at the beginning of the Vivaha Yagya in order that the obstacles be removed by Krishna's grace. First he was doing this, and then he lit the fire and invited the Lord to come, not to destroy the darkness of these obstacles. What does this practically mean? This practically means in a relationship there should be Krishna time in the relationship. That is, when you chant together your mantras, when you worship together the deities, when you may read together, or you go into the temple together to render service. These Krishna moments, no? And then your relationship will be a grihastha ashram, no? And a shelter for both of you. And there will be, you are from Bangladesh, there's a lot of emotion in Bangladesh, there's a lot of temperament in your personality. Your personality was made with lightning, and so on. And but if there's Krishna, that will not go against you, but for you. No? Therefore, I want to again read to you here. There's this husband asking for advices for his marriage to Prabhupada. I feel affection for my wife. Basically, he says how to deal with that. And Prabhupada replied, yes, good. The right hand can have a relationship with the left hand, but it is through the body. So similarly, one soul may have a relationship with another soul, but it is through the medium of the super soul, the supreme soul. So when you have such a relationship, you understand that it is in giving that you are getting. This is a spiritual understanding. It's not in taking that you're getting anything. You only get shadows and empty air when you try to get something by getting something. The spiritual way is to get something by giving. Then your hands are open so that the divine gifts can be given. If you are like this, this will not happen. How do you like this advice? You have to give more than you take. It's a nice, no? Nice advice. It is in absolute harmony with our spiritual philosophy, where we consider ourselves servants and not masters. Also in a grihastha relationship, we serve each other on our spiritual path, and we are there for each other. When someone stumbles, we are there to give support and not to give derision. When the other needs help, we are there to help. We are there to give inspiration. We are there to give anything, even sometimes a rasagula may be necessary. No? This is Bangladesh culture. Rasgulla. Yes. All right. So now I want to chant with you a mantra. I will say one time alone, and then you all say together. It is a beautiful mantra. Lead me from not being, from asat to sat, to the eternal. Lead me from the darkness to the light, and lead me from mortality to immortality. Yes? taken care of? Good. Please, you first we chant an om. Om. Again. Om. Asatoma. Satgamaya. What? Asato. One moment. Asato ma satgamaya. Everyone. Asato ma satgamaya. Tamaso ma Jyotir Gamaya Tamasoma Jyotir Gamaya Mrityoma Amritam Gamaya Mrityoma Amritam Gamaya. This was the preparation now all together. Om. Asato ma satgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya Mrityoma Amritam Gamaya. This is you, it's a better to have the words before you, yes. Om, we all know. My dear devotees, your marriage life is a blessed life because you had the best priest. You had Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra Devi. There will be prosperity or at least enough to pay the rent that we need. The kitchen will be full and there will be also lots of wonderful service. Both of you are wonderful servants in our community here in Berlin. And they both do wonderful seva. No? As you all know, Berlin is in the eternal transition. I don't remember any time in Berlin where we were not thinking of other temples, moving to a new temple. So it needs people who are steady in this transition. And it's a great happiness for the community that you have chosen to marry here. And it was so traditional when we were walking through the streets of Berlin with the most well-dressed Siam Lal whom I have ever seen. And when our Mito came in, you were a little nervous. I could see that was true, no? What will happen? But everything went so nice and so affectionate and so on. And please remember, you have to give more than you wish to take. No? That is the success formula, really. I have heard this from the devotees who were for a long time married. I never met anyone who was 70 years married, but 50 years, 50 plus years, and they all said you have to be willing to see the other person as a servant of Krishna, and you have to support them in their on their journey, and then it will be very, very nice. I have also two advices which I will give in private, no? Because I know you, some personal advices will be given. Now I want to request all of the devotees here who are, and everyone who's here, guests, and to sit properly, sit a little bit straight. Take a few deep breaths, please. And when you breathe in, breathe into your heart space and collect there all the good wishes which you can find for Syamlal and Mitu, and give them all your good wishes, all your blessings. It will happen in silence, and then I will say Jai Jai Sri Radhe, and then it can happen also loud. So once again, sit properly, take a few deep breaths, and you call these a heart breath, go into your heart, and then give them all your good wishes. Please start now. Good. We are in good time. I have the pleasure to announce a very nice new part. The following program will start at 6 o'clock, I understand. No? 6:30 even. We have a wonderful guest who's the first time with us, our Bhakti Narasimha Swami. Am I correct? Yes, Bhakti Narasimha Swami, he comes from far away Nairobi. Yes, and he is here. He is on a European tour. He has started in Villa Vrindavan in Italy. He will be with us for the Ratha Yatra festival, I understand, and then go to Zurich. We wish you safe travels, Maharaj. This is a big traveling tour you do. And he will give the program at 6:30. No? So now we have a little... what do we do now, Lekha Shravanti? Talk to each other. What? There will be prasadam for everyone. And I will need the funny little room for a ceremony there. Yeah, it's free. Good. Yes.
Krishna, gehst du vielleicht dahin und behältst den frei?
Ja. Ja. Good. So I wish you all the best. Hare Krishna.